Hey everyone, welcome to the Mentally Chill Podcast. It's your slacker, your disappointer, your host, Kristen Carney. I am really sorry I didn't have a show out last week. I was really disappointed that I didn't. And I didn't because a relative died. Just kidding. I would never use that as an excuse. That would be my luck is if I use the excuse a relative died, they would definitely die a week later. So I could never use that kind of excuse. My real excuse is that I was sick, I swear. But sick never really sounds believable. And you're never going to show up with a doctor's note. So maybe I'll scribble down a fake doctor's note and post it on Instagram. I'm sorry, though. I didn't have a show out. I do have some really interesting shows coming up in the next coming weeks. Today's show, not so interesting, but fun, because I have our regular guest, Kyle, on, and we're talking about self-acceptance, because I had this weird epiphany last week when I looked at a picture of myself, and I didn't hate myself, and it lifted this incredible weight that I've been carrying on myself for so long. It's like a weight that would be at the gym in the heavy, big section where I would never venture. That's how heavy the weight has been for my entire life. And I've lived a week now pretty much without the weight, maybe like a 5-pounder rather than the big dumbbell on my shoulders. So if you guys are hard on yourself, I think this episode is a good reminder to stop being so hard on yourself. And actually, there is a book series that I want to tell you guys about that's looking for funding on Kickstarter called Venus and Her Fly Trip. It's a book series about preventing self-hatred and promoting inner peace. So that fits perfectly within this theme. So if you are feeling inspired, go visit venusandherflytrip.net to donate to that project. And you can also visit the author's website, juliahengstmft.com. That's H-E-N-G-S-T. com. And Patreon shout outs. Thank you so much to my new Patreon cult members. Welcome to the cult. Jack F, Sergio M, Thomas S, Jeremy A, and Audrey B, not to be confused with Cardi B, but just as amazing. And if you guys want to become a cult member, if you've always dreamed of being controlled by a stranger you don't know, but feel like you know, you can go to patreon.com/mentallychill. And we do all sorts of fun stuff there. Like we just watched a movie last week for Halloween and it was fun as all fun could be. And that's genuine. I don't use the word fun lightly. If I have fun, I will actually say the word fun. If I don't have fun, you will never hear that word enter my vocabulary and I will not lie about it. So come have fun at patreon.com/mentallychill. And I would normally never, ever, 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 ever promote Black Friday. It's just so animalistic and turns us all into Neanderthals. But because it has to do with the Mentally Chill podcast, I think I'm okay with it today. So if you guys want Mentally Chill podcast merchandise, it is 18% off for Black Friday from November 1st to November 6th. And you just use the coupon code EARLY18. Early 18, 18% off of all the merchandise you could dream of for the Mentally Chill podcast. And that's at shop.spreadshirt.com/mentally-chill-podcast. It's worth all the carpal tunnel you'll get from typing it in. And lastly, I shouldn't say this. I'm not totally sure if I'm going to do this, but I'm thinking about doing a bonus episode once a week with questions from listeners, and you can send me questions at contact@mentallychillpodcast.com, and it'll be about a 10-12 minute bonus episode a week if I get enough questions to answer and interact more with the listeners. So please send me questions. I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode. And the disclaimer for this week is that Kyle talks over me so much, I'm going to charge him like $50 for the editing of this podcast because it was so tedious and so difficult because there's nowhere to split words because I should blame myself too. I'm also talking over Kyle. So my apologies in advance. When we're with each other, we get really excited and goofy and we can't control ourselves. But next time, Kyle and I will not talk over each other. If we do, we will have to cut each other's tongues out. I think that's reasonable. I think it fits the crime, a punishment that fits the crime. So anyway, that's the disclaimer for this week, and I hope you enjoy this week's show. Well, I'm surprised that I'm not gay.
Why?
Well, I look at pictures of myself when I'm younger, and I think, that looks like a lesbian.
Very little affair.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know how it didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, but what age do you think you look like a lesbian?
I would say mostly between ages like 7 and 13.
Do you know many 7-year-old lesbians?
What's funny is that when I was 7, I looked 47. I looked old. Look, I looked like an old young person.
It was like Benjamin Button.
It was. I posted a long time ago on Instagram a picture of me, and I said me when I was like something like a 47-year-old lesbian, but I would think I was like 8 or 9.
See, you got your shit together at a younger age than me, though. You got your shit together like, I feel like 14, 15, junior high, you pretty much had you knew how to socially be accepted in society by the way you present yourself.
That's true. I did. You know what moment I remember thinking I do have it together is when I started noticing people who needed to pluck their eyebrows. Girls,
I have perfect eyebrows.
You do have nice eyebrows.
My mom always told me my whole life, she's like, it looks like you pluck those things. They're perfect.
It's almost too much. Yeah, it's almost like you look like you're in the mirror pulling out hair.
Women's eyebrows, which is super masculine.
So I don't know if we're using the word perfect correctly here.
For a woman.
Perfect for a woman.
Yeah, she's like, I'm jealous of your eyebrows. And that was my best feature. Have we talked about this?
No, but we should have.
I think eyebrows for a long time was like what I hung my hat on as my best feature.
Well, and if calves, they were really full, you could have hung your hat on them.
I have good men's calves.
You do have nice calves.
Yeah.
And you have nice eyebrows.
Eyebrows and calves. So it's like if I find that woman into eyebrows and calves.
I have neither good eyebrows nor good calves. However, very good at doing makeup. So I sculpt my brows into looking like they're good brows. They look like
nice
brows.
But that's a lot of paint on the end, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not paint. It's eyeshadow. Yeah. it's shadow okay. used as a
Whatever.
Blender.
It's all but
it's not actual
me.
Paint. I didn't go to Sherwin-Williams. <It's>
That's good.
Okay. So I showed up with your books here.
We're
taping.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think all that gay talk was for? Nothing to just well, disappear.
Maybe they shouldn't go on there. I don't want it to be offensive. I'm all for blowjobs by anyone who wants to give them. I don't want it to be misconstrued.
Blowjobs salute you.
Yes.
So I showed up with
BJ's 2020.
I showed up with these yearbooks because we just passed Halloween. And I'm not trying to scare you. You were scared enough on Halloween by just looking in the mirror.
Yep.
We don't have to do it again with the yearbooks. But I was looking for a Halloween costume to wear in the basement. And my mom opened up a trunk, almost like a trunk that would be in like Harry Potter or some.
Okay. You were looking in the basement for a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
I thought you were looking for a costume to wear in the basement. Like something to go down there and hide in a costume. That makes much more sense.
No, I always just sit down there totally naked.
Yeah, I was alone. So I figure I'd dress up and go lurk in the basement.
Oh my God, one day. But no, for Halloween, okay. I was in the basement looking for a Halloween costume. My mom opened a trunk, like an actual trunk that's got the latch and everything. And she opened up a whole world of memories that I didn't know we still had. And up until this point, I'm full of self-hatred. So I opened up our 5th grade yearbook, our 4th grade yearbook, and our 6th grade yearbook. And I opened up, the first thing I opened up to was our 6th grade graduation picture. And normally whenever I look at anything from my past, I just see like, you idiot, you stupid moron, look at you in that picture. You're a piece of shit. But I opened it and I saw my 6th grade graduation picture and I didn't hate myself. And I had this weird moment where I almost had not full self-acceptance because, believe me, 5th grade and 4th grade, I was like, you dumbass.
It crashed real fast. Yeah, it
crashed and burned. But I have held on to that feeling of accepting myself, and it's been probably a week since I opened that, and I've had a full week of not feeling like the weight of the world was on my shoulders because I didn't fully hate myself. I still semi-hate myself, but so I wanted to talk about self-acceptance.
But why are you judging yourself in 19, what was that?
95.
95? We were 12.
It doesn't matter how old I am. I hate myself at whatever age, which is so terrible and cruel of myself. But before I would have looked at that
and been
angry at that. Yeah. I would have hated myself. I would have cursed myself.
For you.
It was a big step. I opened that and I didn't have the normal feeling, which I normally have, which is I hate you. Look how stupid you look. Look how everything's wrong with you.
I accept it. I think I learned when I realized most people look back at themselves at that awkward adolescent age and think that they look foolish. Everybody does.
Everyone does. But that's the thing, though, with me, is it was another level of like actual disgust. And it was like I would look at myself and everything in my entire world was on that picture. Like all of the ways I didn't like myself physically, all of the math problems I never solved, all the bad grades I got, all the equations I couldn't do, all the friends I didn't make, everything was on that picture. You know, all of these things, it all comes to a head when I look at it in a picture. And for the first time, when I looked at the picture, it wasn't just like how someone else goes, oh, I was just a nerdy kid, it wasn't that bad. I had a moment of like, oh my God, I am not the worst like I thought I have been.
Yeah, well,
for years.
I'm anxious to see this picture. So, that because I don't think you ever were considered like that. Like,
no, in your head, but in my head. So, yeah. You know, when I wonder sometimes if I have OCD because I've focused on so many things that are wrong with me over and over and over and over that they've grown into this monster.
You've built them up into something.
Whereas when someone else looks from the outside, they don't see it at the scope that I saw myself.
See, what's funny is with me, back then at clearly my worst, I haven't seen these pictures yet, but clearly at my most awkward, weird looking phase of my life, I think I was more confident in myself back then than I ever have been as an adult.
Do you think it's because you were naive to how stupid you
looked? I think I was just a cocky little bastard.
Really?
Like, I had all the confidence in the world back then.
You did?
I think so, yeah. I mean, honestly, right now, most of the time, I think I'm the smartest person in the room, which is sort of arrogant.
Well, you're usually in a room alone.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I do spend a lot of time alone. Or with my dumb family. But, no, I do have an internal confidence about me that I've always had. But back then, I think it was external. Now, I'll walk around and be quiet and try to blend in. But back then, I wanted everyone to see me, and I wanted to be the star. And, like, I don't know what it was. I was always a confident kid. Right up, even in high school, I felt like I was more confident than... I was broken at, like, the age of 24, 25, I want to say.
What happened?
Well, when I left school, I just didn't know what I was going to do. You know, you're told from kindergarten to the time you graduate high school that you college. You only, you know, you got to go to college. And I'm not anti-college at all. But all the things I learned from college were from going to parties and classwork. You know, that was never my thing. And there was this big sense of like, I let people down. I let myself down. What am I going to do? I'm just going to be a burnout with no career, you know, like you don't know what's ahead of you. And I got really self-conscious and ashamed of it. I think, I mean, I'm 36. I just turned 36. So I want to say like, yeah,
nice birthday,
like
drop.
A name drop. Yeah, exactly. My birthday that you didn't remember. but I early 30s, I probably came to like an acceptance of like, you know what? I work in a retail establishment as a manager, and I'm happy. I make good enough money, not great, good enough money, and I got people that I care about in my life, and like I accepted it all. I was just like, but it did take me, when I left school, it did take me a lot of time. I felt like I had a scarlet letter of shame.
So you went through being young and accepting yourself, then you went through a phase of not accepting yourself, and now you're back to accepting yourself.
All of my issues are caused by myself.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, get out of your own way. And that's part of the self-acceptance stuff, is that I think I've been in my own way because I've dug myself a hole. And in that hole, I've put everything about myself that I don't like, and I keep tripping over it and tripping over it and tripping over it. And the more I trip over it, the bigger the hole gets, because I'm kicking more dirt. And then it just erodes and becomes more of a problem than it actually is. And it's all by me. Like, I'm my own worst enemy. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm going to show you pictures of you.
Okay.
And I want to see how you're feeling about self-acceptance of yourself as a child now that you see the pictures.
Okay.
So this is Kyle's fourth grade school picture.
Fourth grade.
And I had outlined your glasses in pen. I drew on random people and you were one of them.
Yes. Yes. It's so funny. Okay.
I think this is a cute picture.
Oh my God. I look foreign. I look like an exchange student. Oh man, that's weird. So where are you?
This is a bad year for me. Okay.
I got to see you. This is great podcast.
I know. I'm going to post some of these pictures. So this is where my self-hatred comes right to the top. And this is me looking 50 when I was like 8.
Yeah, that is.
Don't I look?
You
like
look like everyone's aunt.
I know. I know.
Like, man, you really did buck teeth on this person.
Stop worrying about them. Worry about me.
I'm sorry, but
I drew all over everybody.
you highlighted the mole on this kid's face. Oh man,
he did have a big mole.
I know. That's so funny.
Look at John Darrow. Okay. So I did look like everyone's aunt.
Yeah, you did.
I looked old. I had this weird mom haircut.
You had a middle-aged look going on. The soccer mom. Most kids played soccer. You played soccer mom.
I'm on the team.
You handed out oranges.
All right. We were in the same class for this year, which is fifth grade. Okay. And you're down there on the bottom because your last name is with a W.
Oh, you know what? I like that one. I think that's a sharp shirt I'm wearing.
It is a sharp shirt.
Collar's open.
It's a sharp shirt if you want to do infomercials at night.
The bowl cut, though, is so bad.
You had a great bowl cut.
Yeah, I look just like a penis. This one, though, no, that's neither one is very good.
Okay, and then here is your sixth grade.
Yeah, this
sixth,
can't,
I can't say
sixth.
Sixth. Okay, sixth grade.
Oh, yeah. The butt chin is in full display. Not only do I have the bowl cut, but it looks super greasy.
It does look greasy.
It looks really
maybe
greasy.
Maybe it's from the black and white. It makes it look darker than it is. Katie's hair looks greasy, too, and hers normally isn't greasy. Or maybe hers was greasy. I don't know, but hers looks greasy. I think it's the coloring.
Oh, my God. That's weird.
So when you see that, what do you think? Like, do you think... Are you nice to yourself? Are
well,
you mean
I
to yourself?
See you in sixth grade.
Oh, so this is the picture that I saw, and I didn't absolutely hate, and I saw flaws in me that I realized are okay.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Wow, so I started to get
the same shirt on.
I know. I remember that.
Her posture, though. Oof.
Ooh, yikes! Yeah, no, I'm like a good example
yeah,
of better
exactly.
posture. But I.
Well, I can see why. Because I told you, you started to get control of your shit and form
yeah.
a style and stuff at a younger age. I was still just like whatever shirt my mom had for me,
still
I would wear. You have a look, at least as a sixth grader.
But
that's pretty good.
The 1 year difference is very drastic from fifth grade to sixth grade.
Well, maybe you looked in the mirror.
I did.
And well, you were like, this shit's kind
of odd. You know what it was? I got rid of my glasses. I got contacts. And then everything started coming together.
Yeah.
But looking at this with my new eyes, same contact prescription probably, but looking at it with my new eyes versus my old ones, the old ones are the critical ones, the new ones are the more accepting ones. And I am apologizing to my younger self, and I am going to be nicer to my younger self and to my older self. And if we're already inclined to have depression, how we're treating ourselves and talking to ourselves is only going to make it 10 million times worse. So we need to stop doing that. This is so important because we're so mean to ourselves and you're
awful.
I don't think you're as mean to yourself as I thought you would be. I mean, you were pretty bad, but you were saying you were confident when you were younger.
I was, yeah. But that's narcissism. That's just my narcissism right. where I'm just the most important and everybody is watching the Kyle show. And now I'm more self-aware that that's not it. And I'm ashamed of how obnoxious I used to be when I thought that. Like now I have this self-realization of, hey, the world doesn't revolve around you. Maybe you shouldn't act like that. And I have moments of like shame and embarrassment where when I was younger, I might have thought that way. And I think that's a big part of it too. When I was in my 20s is like people knew me as this like loud, funny party guy. And I didn't want to be that anymore. And instead of like, so when I would encounter people, I'd feel like they had expectations and
they dropped the funny expectation. They're like, this guy's really not that funny.
Like just loud and obnoxious.
Yeah, yeah.
But it all came together for me around 30 where I was just saying, I know who I am and I'm confident that I'm good. And the people that matter know.
Yeah.
Those aren't as bad as I thought. Yeah, maybe I have more self-acceptance.
Good.
I mean,
well, that's that's a good realization for you to have.
Now that.
Oh, God, I know those are bad. Yep. But it's such a good realization for you to have because for me, maybe you'll have the same experience.
Okay.
When I saw the picture, all of a sudden a weight lifted off of my shoulders and it didn't take away depression and it didn't take away all the things that I would want it to take away. But when you're struggling already with depression, you want everything in your corner that you can use as a tool to get out of your depression.
Yep.
And having self-acceptance as a tool now in my tool belt is exciting for me because I've never gotten to work with that before.
Yeah, I think it's a huge tool too.
It is. It's like a really big tool. It's like a bigger tool than someone on the Jersey Shore.
Like, yeah, it's, I think the best way to combat, I think depression and low self-esteem go hand in hand.
Right.
So I think one way, you know, it's tough to tackle both at the same time, but if people work on their self-esteem and their self-worth, I think the depression will naturally get better because they feel better.
Right. It also gives your brain an opportunity to free up space so you can focus on more important things.
Yeah.
Because for so many years, I've focused on what I don't like about myself and how to hide it, not change it necessarily, but hide it.
Yep.
And that takes your brain so much work.
It's so much easier to just focus on things you're proud of and embrace them.
Exactly.
It's a lot easier and a lot less stressful to do that.
Right.
And really, you know,
well, when you wake up,
showcase that part of yourself.
Right. Because when you wake up in the morning and your first thoughts aren't what's good about me and go forward with those, my first thoughts when I'm not accepting of myself are everything that I hate about myself. So I've got to start the day bearing that load. So I'm starting below zero. But right now I feel like because I feel a little bit more accepting, I'm starting at zero. No, I'm still probably at negative
I gave
one.
You too much credit.
Yeah, way too much credit. I'm still probably at like negative one.
Yeah.
But it's way easier than being at like a negative 20.
You can see the positive. You know?
Yeah.
It's out there somewhere.
Yeah. And it was an amazing feeling to go, I don't have to hide me. I don't have to apologize for me. I don't have to be worried about someone finding out who the real me is because I'm okay with me.
Yep.
All of a sudden, it was like I had this like mind-blowing experience without doing any drugs.
Yep.
Without, I must have been on drugs, though. How did I have... Oh, well, actually, speaking of being on drugs, I did say this on my mini pod on Patreon. I mentioned this experience, and I said, it has been about a full month that I've been on Prozac, antidepressant.
So maybe
it's helping you along. Yeah. So I don't know if I would have had that realization if I wasn't on the Prozac. You know, I don't know if I looked at that picture without being on any antidepressants and would have felt anything at all.
You look at her old pictures, you need antidepressants.
Yes. Please take these before you open any yearbooks.
Yes. I need lithium to look at my pictures. Yeah, literally, it's bad.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know if I can take credit for the self-acceptance or if I should give the credit over to Prozac. But for the past week or so that I've experienced this, it's been easier for me to get out of bed. I've looked forward to doing things.
Not this podcast.
Not this podcast, though. I was dreading that. And I'm afraid at this moment, going forward, that I'm going to lose that. Like, this week has been good.
This is exactly what you just talked about. Instead of waking up and focusing on, I'm going to lose this, right. Wake up and focus on, I have this right now.
Right.
You know, that's the exact same thing you just talked about. You know, you're not
Tony Robbins or Kyle Williams.
I know. I am very motivational. It's this Fitbit.
It is.
I got a Fitbit and now I'm just like, you can do it. I'm just gung-ho. I've done one sleep cycle.
But the minute
cycle.
It comes off your wrist, you're just like, blah.
Yeah, exactly. It sucks me dry. But this could be a Black Mirror.
Oh, that could be a cool Black Mirror episode.
Fitbit's doing something to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
Tell that to your Hollywood friends.
Okay, I don't have any, but sure.
I think instead of focusing on when is this going to go away, focus on the fact that, hey, it's here now.
Right.
And I think that'll...
I was good at doing that for about 5 days. And then the past like 2 days, I'm going, oh no, what if it slips away?
We need to talk about the elephant in the room, though.
Me being skinny?
No.
Oh, damn.
Although, and that's something
is
you
that
may...
It?
Yeah, you're like, about my great body. The elephant in the room is...
How good I look?
How great my butt looks. No, that's not it. But, no, the elephant in the room is your sleep schedule.
Oh, well, yeah.
That needs to seriously... You need to work on that.
I know, Mom.
I'm just saying, for your own good, I think it would help you.
It would help me a lot.
Yeah. It's, listen, the days I would never say I'm depressed, but that's not true. I would say I'm not depressed to the degree to like what you have to deal with. But everybody has days where they just feel like shit and they're not feeling themselves, they're mopey. The best way to counteract those is literally to wake up and get something done first thing in the morning. And then the rest of the day doesn't feel like a weight. I'm playing with house money. I already did something today. If nothing else goes on, I did something.
Right.
And I swear to God, I think that would help you.
It's just the but act of no, actually.
I have no credentials.
Take off your Fitbit. I'm sick of listening to this.
I have no credentials to give you that information. just pure arrogance.
Well, I know I go on and on and on the show about how hard it is for me to wake up, and I don't want to harp on that, but it is something that really,
for everybody.
But it really is more difficult for me than it is for other people, and I'm not saying because I'm special.
Get a Fitbit. I slept for 5 hours last night, and I was awake for
maybe an hour and 20 minutes wrong in my sleep. I have crazy nightmares almost every single night, but the feeling of me at night is like, okay, I finally got into like my flow. Like I'm chugging along. It's 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, I feel like a person. I feel normal. I don't want to go to bed yet. And then I go, well, if I go to bed later, then I'll have a screwed up day tomorrow. So then I try to force myself to go to sleep early-ish, because I could probably go to sleep around 4 in the morning, naturally, if I wanted to. But I force myself to sleep around 1, and I always dread going to sleep, in a sense, because I know what a battle it's going to be for me in the morning.
This is that same thing, though. You're going to worry about the morning.
I worry about the like everything forward, looking forward, what's going to screw up next week. And that's anxiety, and that's like an anxious brain.
That's 100% what I do, but
it's like I get my momentum later in the day, and then all of a sudden I have to shut that momentum off and go to sleep and then restart again. And to get my momentum going, it's like a locomotive is hanging off the edge of a cliff at the bottom, and it someone throws some coal into the engine, and it's trying to lift itself up this 90 degree mountain, and it's so hard because it's so heavy and there's so much weight on it, and it's like it. But that's how it feels every morning when I wake up, and I have to do it every single morning.
This is very Tony Robbins, but with the little engine that could. I think I can.
I'm the little engine that couldn't.
Yeah, you're just a dead engine.
It feels so dead, and then all of a sudden, I'll force myself up eventually, and then I hit the plateau of this mountain, and finally I can just go. But then once I start going, it's time to go to bed again, and I have to restart the whole process again in the morning. So it's really difficult. It's basically plagued me my whole life, and I know I'm not making it any better, but I am trying, because today I set my alarm clock for 10:15 this morning. It went off. It was 10:15. I was like, and I say it was like, but it feels worse than that. It feels like, no, I can't. I change it to like 10:30, then I change it to 10:45, then I put it to like 11:15, then I started texting you, and I'm like, oh shit, now I'm
gonna be late for the 4:30 appointment.
But that's what I was thinking. I'm like, all right, well, I've got to do some things before I have to go
I told
to somewhere at 4:30.
I told you I had to be done by 6, what did I tell you, 6:30?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, it's 7:15, but I figure I'm going to tell her 6:30.
Get this bitch out of here.
I know.
Because she's so late and slow.
Well, I'm the same way. I'm always 10 minutes late to everything. And I think that's sort of the same. I'm thinking and procrastinating.
I'm procrastinating because going and doing anything is full dread.
Yeah.
Even though right now I'm in the self-acceptance mode, and I shouldn't be 10 minutes late because I'm okay with myself, but I'm still going to be, you know, a shithead in certain ways.
I was gonna say, but that's part of accepting who you are. Like I just accepted, like I gotta give myself extra time, because
but even if I have extra time, I find a way to be late.
No, I can relate.
Yeah,
and that's why it was 45 minutes I gave you out of a cushion. So
I'm glad that you know me.
yes I do.
But I'm going to remind myself of that picture every once in a while, because it really was a huge moment for me.
Yeah, sixth grade was a big year for you, it looks like.
It was. That's when I got my mojo going. But it was like when I became a real individual.
Do you remember coming back to school? Like you got contacts, you got a haircut that's not 20 years old. You had some clothes, I'm sure. Do you remember being like, wait till they get a look at the new Kristen?
The way I describe having no control over the way that I looked as a kid, it's almost like a blind person saying, I like this style, but there's no way I can put it together because I can't see it. It was like in my mind, I knew how I wanted to look. I knew how I wanted to come across, but for some reason, a lot of reasons, one being the huge glasses and the massive hair, but
like a beehive in fourth grade.
I could not have the pieces come together. It was like, in my mind, like when I was in first grade, I wanted a perm like Kim Whedon. It was a crimpy, cool perm.
What grade?
First grade. I told my mom, I want a perm. So my mom takes me, and I've already got this thick bushel of hair. And the woman doesn't give me a crimpy cool perm. She gives me like the Annie ringlet perm. Yeah,
like the mom from A Christmas Story.
The mom from A Christmas Story yeah, perm. Yeah. So I walked out of there with a square box of curls around my head.
Like a poodle. Yeah.
And at that moment, I was in first grade and I had no control over the way I looked. I was drowning. I felt like trying to go, no, that's not what I want to look like and how I want to come across. But I was coming across as this huge nerd for so long. Yeah. And if you're going to be a nerd, at least be good at math. I wasn't even good at math.
Yeah.
The vision I have of myself is that nerd. When I close my eyes, I'm still that person. So it doesn't align with how people see me today in real life.
Yep.
So now that the self-acceptance thing has happened, what comes next, hopefully, is self-esteem. And then hopefully from self-esteem will be like self-worth and then digging myself further out of feeling depressed and worthless. But there's a difference between self-acceptance and self-esteem. And self-esteem is stuff we value that we find worthwhile in ourselves. Whereas self-acceptance is we accept flaws or not flaws. So self-esteem comes from things that we think we're great at. Self-acceptance is just accepting that we may have flaws and be imperfect.
Yeah.
And then we can grow our self-esteem from those flaws.
See, I think it's opposite for me, though. I think I had that self-esteem, and then I realized I had the flaws and had a hard time dealing with that because I had self-esteem. It was hard for me to deal with, like, oh, I'm not as like, good
wait
as
a
I
second,
thought I was.
That's me?
Yeah. But I'm an unusual case. I would assume that most people it goes the other way.
I think
I only had self-esteem out of ignorance. You know, like it wasn't out of like, I'm so good. It was just a small pond. I'm better than this kid. I'm better than this one. And then as my world grew, my self-worth shrunk because I wasn't.
It's like the big fish in a little
yeah,
pond.
Yeah, 100%. Kind of like my world was getting bigger and oh, wow, there's a million people that are sort of like me, but better. And I'm just sort of not as cool as I thought
so
I was.
Like you.
Yeah, yeah. So not,
not
like
you
me
at all.
Anyway, a good version of me. Me, but good. So it really, but I think I'm unique in that way,
yeah.
You know, which may sound arrogant right there too, that I'm, you know, but I think most people, it goes the other way. I think that you're right.
Yeah. I think the thing with self-acceptance is it's the opening gateway to self-love and self-esteem.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to list a few things that aren't good about me, but I'm proud of. Or maybe not proud of, but okay with.
Okay.
Okay. And I want you to do it afterward.
Of you?
No, of yourself.
Okay.
So
I don't
like,
have any for you.
Well, I have zero for you, too.
Yes. Okay, good.
Exercise over if we had this for each other. So I'm not book smart. I've accepted that about myself. For a really long time, I thought I had to be book smart in order to qualify to be involved in anything professional or to be worthy of a good job or anything like that. And I realized that's okay that I'm not. And if everyone was book smart, it'd be a boring ass world. It'd be so boring.
The most successful people you know aren't the most book smart people you know.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So I'm accepting of that. To go to a physical thing, and this sounds so stupid.
I'm skinny. We know you're skinny, Kristen.
can we talk about this tiny white elephant in the room called my leg?
You do have nice calves. How are mine? Yes. Kristen's not wearing pants, guys.
I'm
She's
not.
Just Yes.
Look at the skin. Well, physically, this is really small and minute, but I hate the way my hair grows.
Yeah, you've said that.
I'm obsessed with it. I have like OCD.
But I think your hair is one of your best features.
But not the hairline, not the growth pattern. And I know it sounds so
weird.
Stupid, but it's affected me because I think I have a weird face.
I have a crooked toenail, but
obviously I would look at you and think you definitely would have a
crooked
toenail.
I'm not hung up over it. Nobody notices. You know what I'm saying?
Your socks hung up over it.
Yeah,
it's stuck
exactly.
on it.
It's caught. I'm holding my socks from it.
And I know it sounds so stupid, but when I saw the picture, the sixth grade picture, I saw my hairline. I saw how it grows.
Your hairline looks good there.
No, and I thought it looked, I didn't like it, but I thought,
but
that's okay. And I accept it. That's just the way my hair grows.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm just super immature or what, but it's taken me so long to get to this point. So not book smart, bad hairline.
But you know what's ironic? You showed me that picture of you, and the first thing I said is, wow, you're pretty put together. And look how good your posture is. Right. I found two positive things instantly when I looked at that picture.
Right.
So maybe it's just the picture.
it was an off day. I was not normally
that good. You looked really good.
It was a nice picture.
Yeah, it was.
Especially given how actually horrific I look most days.
That's not true.
So I accept that about myself. I accept that I am not great with waking up in the morning, and I'm working on it, but I'm not going to beat myself up for it anymore because, like,
enough people beat you up for it.
Do you see how bruised I am? This is my mom. Wake up!
I know.
The broom just
that
my
must
head.
Drive your mom nuts. I imagine your mom's up at like 3:30 in the morning, like, putting makeup on to go do her chores for the day and make a big 6-course breakfast for the family. She's like, the milkman just got here. I got fresh breakfast out. Like, you know,
and I'm drooling through it.
Yeah. And you're just like, leave me alone.
Yeah. I know she says mum on purpose. Yeah, like, she purposely doesn't.
At her that time.
I know, I scared her away. Lesson. You know. I know. And I have a gajillion other things that, you know, I'm not a very social person, and I'm accepting that of myself. I'm not trying to say, you know what, you need to go out and have a million friends to be worthy of anything. I'm over that. And you know, it's been a process. It's not just from seeing that picture, but I'm working on it daily, and I think it's so important to continue working on it. What are a few things that you don't like about yourself that you're okay with?
I don't know if I'm okay with any of them. Because
that's not the point of the podcast. Yeah, you have to be okay for the point of this episode.
I accept them, but it doesn't mean I can't strive to make them
better.
Well,
exactly. Yes, exactly.
So, I don't want to say I'm okay with them, but the cruel reality of these truths are, like, one, I'm not a super motivated person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not. I'd rather just not do anything.
Same.
And I've accepted that, but I try to fight through it.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be so accepting that you're allowing yourself to just be a waste of space.
I shouldn't say I'm not motivated. It's hard for me to get... Something has to motivate me naturally.
Yeah.
If I want to do something, no one's stopping me. I just don't want to ever do anything.
Right. So no one's stopping you because you're not even attempting.
So I'm not attempting and no one cares. So that is one thing that I know is part of me that I accept. The other thing that I... And again, these things are things I still work on, but I accept I can be judgmental, which I don't do it in a negative way towards people. I do it just as, like, it's just what I've done my whole life. I just look at somebody and make like 4 comments about the way they look, and some of them mean, some of them nice, some of them funny. And that's sort of what I was talking about earlier. You regret. I used to say those things aloud and get laughs and stuff. And it's like, maybe that wasn't the nicest thing to say to people. I don't want to be somebody that makes people feel bad.
I just drew them in my yearbook instead.
Exactly. You were quiet about it. I would go up to their face and say it, you know? So I am judgmental, but I don't think that's bad as long as I learn how to hone in my powers and control them.
Well, in a few minutes, we're going to do segments, and one of them is going to be things I should tell my therapist. And actually, my first therapist I ever saw, I told her I was judgmental. And she said, no, you're not judgmental, you're discerning. And I was like, no, I'm judgmental.
I'm judging you right now for saying that.
I hate your shoes.
Yeah. I have observations. I said to her,
I'm not looking at judgmental as being a negative. I'm looking at it as a way that I formulate opinions and create perspectives and jokes. And I need to be quote-unquote judgmental in order to be who I am inside, which is...
I think a lot of comedians, especially, I'm talking like I know comedians or I'm a comic, I have the personality of somebody who would become a comic, because I think it's common for people in that profession to observe and make observations about what they think in their crazy mind is ironic or funny, but we're never looking at it for just what it is. We're always looking for that layer underneath.
And it's never to be mean.
No.
It's always
to self-serve.
self-serve.
It's just a thing you're going to say to somebody next to you or to yourself.
It's self-serving, but it's also natural because we are soaking in information, regardless whether it's nice information or bad information. It doesn't mean you're mean.
Spewing of thoughts.
Anyway, I'm trying to make you feel good about being judgmental so I can make myself feel good about being judgmental.
And I love how I'm literally talking about this like I'm a comic with you. I'm like, well, as a comedian, you know.
Well, it's kind of funny that I would even talk about myself as a comedian
too. Stop it.
Yeah. Speaking of that, if you guys want to check me out on December 1st at Caroline's Comedy Club, yeah. I'll be roasting Shane Spencer, but the tickets are insanely expensive. I didn't know that when I told people to go look for tickets. I had no idea. They're like, right now I think they're on sale for like $200 a ticket.
So there you go.
But they're like $300 a ticket base. So anyway.
You're doing a roast at Caroline's. You're a comic, okay?
All right. All right. I'll accept. All right. I accept.
Yeah.
All right. What else do you hate about yourself?
I know more negatives.
And that'll be the last one.
I have an addictive personality, which is not something I'm proud of. Gambling, tobacco, marijuana.
Yeah, I see your dip bottle over there.
I've been trying to quit for 10 years, you know, and I've had little spurts of it, but, and that's just, I think, coping with stress and anxiety. It's old habits, you know, things that are easy crutches, they almost are. And I don't like that about myself because, you know, I want to be a strong person and mind over matter and be able to control things like that.
Yeah.
And to think you have chemical dependency or anything like that, like even video games, like I'll play Spider-Man on PlayStation for 7 hours in a row. And it's like, oh man, there goes my whole day off. I should have accomplished something.
Right. So it's like finding a balance between being a worthless piece of shit and being somewhat driven to provide
motivation.
For yourself.
Pretty much, I just said I'm a lazy stoner video game person.
But within reason, accepting these things about yourself is totally okay. If you quit your job and just played video games all day long and, you know, got kicked out of your apartment because you couldn't afford rent, you know, then it'd be a thing.
Yep.
But you deserve a day to sit and do that all day long. I justify it
once in a while. Right. Like, this is going to be my thing.
Right.
You know, I don't have the time to play video games as much as I would like personally, but that's just life, I guess.
Yeah. Well, if you just...
So the fact that I'm 36 and still play video games is another thing I've accepted.
Good.
Hey, you know what?
It's liberating to just be you.
My dad will say, I can't believe you still play those stupid games. I was buying them for you when you were 8 years old. And I said, that's the problem. No other generation in the world has grown up with these around them their whole life. And they're marketing the games to us now. It's not even like they're made for children anymore.
Right.
You know, have you played Grand Theft Auto? You can have sex with a hooker and then shoot her and take your money back.
That is for children. That's 8 years old and up.
No, I'm
kidding.
Maybe it is.
No, I'm saying the hookers and stuff. I started when I was 8.
Yeah, it's nice. So, I mean, I'm not super proud of that, but it's different.
Yeah.
These older people don't understand.
That is different.
Screw you, Dad.
All right, so we're going to do some segments. I'm glad that there's some things that you dislike about yourself so that we could have elaborated on that.
Yep.
So thank you. Okay, first segment, things I should tell my therapist, as I just mentioned before. I don't know why I have such empathy for bad guys. And so you know who Whitey Bulger is, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was murdered in prison the other day.
Well, let's hold on. I don't want to start a conspiracy theory, but if you were as powerful and as hooked up as Whitey Bulger, do you think there's a possibility this was just a plan to let him out?
No.
Hey.
No.
Why not?
Because the dude who was there is a badass dude who
probably worked for Whitey,
who used to hit on other dudes in Massachusetts. And
I'm just saying, maybe it's a thing. Maybe he faked his death in prison and somebody let him out. He just went to the new prison.
Right.
You know, and maybe he's out
there.
Maybe
he is. And maybe you should talk to your therapist about why you believe in conspiracy theories.
Well, yeah.
I mean, okay, so if he is still alive, don't feel bad for him. But if he was beaten to death, as they say he was in prison, it makes me feel so bad, even though that's all he did his entire life was torture and kill and...
Yeah, but I think your therapist might say it's okay to feel that way. You could be sad for that his life was that way and that this is how it ended. He never had redemption. He ended up losing everything for his bad decisions. Like, you can have empathy for...
Is it normal to have empathy for something like that?
For him, yeah.
I think, though, I get...
It's tough if it's like a child molesting person that murdered 15, 12-year-olds.
No, children.
Like, there's the line.
But
it's still murder.
He still murdered
like 11 people, right. Like, that they proved.
And he's a terrible, awful human being.
Yeah.
But I think seeing a picture of a man with white hair, like, old, I just see images of grandpa, And I think, I feel so bad.
That old man got beat up. Yeah, nobody should beat an old man.
That poor old man. Yeah. And I feel that way for people I should not feel bad for all the time. I don't think I empathize with bad people. I just think I empathize with people.
Well, that's, and they're, that's, they're probably still people, healthy.
Right.
It's probably healthy. Yeah. And the fact that you know, like, that's weird.
But is it a normal reaction for me to read that headline and go, aw? Like, it's not like it's a teddy bear.
Well, did you see the Johnny Depp movie?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so that might be Black why, Mass. Too. I mean, yeah. It's an anti-hero movie. You sort of root for him,
right,
a little
it's
bit.
The anti-hero thing.
Yeah.
Someone sort of, said that on Twitter,
it
too.
It sort of builds it up as like a, you know, like a Tony Soprano.
Exactly.
He's like my favorite character ever on TV, and right. He murdered people. Right. And he did, and I mean, that's fictional.
Right.
But still. Like,
well, like in The Godfather, I felt bad when he keeled over and had a heart attack. I was like, oh, I hate this part.
Yeah. Well, Breaking Bad, he's literally like he's yelling at his wife. He treats his son like
and
shit.
He's the hero.
He's selling drugs, and you're rooting for him
right.
the whole time.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think everybody's got a little bit of that in them.
Okay.
You know?
All right. That
Spoilers.
Doesn't make me feel like a bad person then. What's something that you would tell your therapist?
Well, I mentioned it earlier. Like, there is a weird anxiety about when we get together and do this with my girlfriend. Not by her, by me with my girlfriend. Like I said earlier, never would there be ever anything fishy or weird, but I have like an internal guilt about hanging out with just a girl in my apartment that I live with my girlfriend here. Like it just
makes sense.
It just, I haven't.
And you don't want worlds
to
collide.
And she knows. Like, I told her. And yeah, and no matter what, like, it's like, you got to get out of here when she gets out of work.
Like, oh, I'm going to go. I want to get out of here because I don't want to meet her either.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing where I don't want worlds to collide.
But why would that be so awful? That's sort of my anxiety, though. It's like, oh, I got to introduce people and hope they get along. And not that, and she's pretty. She wouldn't, even if she didn't like you, she wouldn't say anything or you know, like. And then it's like, oh, I just don't want to do it.
But
you
if
know?
You told me that in 5 minutes she was walking in the door, I'd
you
be like,
would
oh,
this
geez,
and go.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Why, though? Some people seem so okay with
they
going,
they love doing
it. Hey,
but that's
hi.
That's the bane of all my problems.
Are we
problems,
anxious? Are we antisocial? Are we assholes?
You know,
are we unfriendly?
It's
what
funny
is it?
Because there's a line in, I think it's in Clerks. It's one of the Kevin Smith movies where the guy goes, why do you want to go to that? You hate people. And he says, but I love large gatherings. And it's sort of
that's
like,
right.
I like going to things. It's just staying with two people,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm naturally in a smaller, you know, you said we were going to talk about loneliness and that's really tough for me because my favorite times ever are
alone.
When I'm alone.
Right.
Cause I don't have to be
it's
anything other than myself. Yeah. It's like low maintenance, just, you know,
and also for someone who's like not had self-acceptance for so long, being alone for me has been so
that's
easy
when
because
you're
then I don't have to
worry
about hiding
the
all
lens
these flaws
people are looking at
right,
you in.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. So I think that's a lot of it with her. It's like the anxiety of what this interaction would be like and having to introduce and like, you know,
it's like a Larry David thing though too, like he doesn't want to see the whole house when like there's an episode
yeah,
and they're like, come take a tour. He's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm good. I don't need to meet your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Not that I don't think she's probably a nice person.
Yeah.
I just don't
we're
care.
We're just all okay. Yeah. And
but I don't, I would nice, it would
and,
be nice
you know
to
funny?
Feel the opposite. It would be nice to go, I want to meet your girlfriend.
Well, it seems like that should be a normal reaction.
Right, right.
But to tell you, she'd probably be like, oh, I don't care. I don't want to meet her either.
Right.
Like,
underneath,
not
I think
of you,
the majority
but...
of people don't want to interact. From doing this podcast, the amount of people that tell me that they like being alone, they don't like going around with other people, it seems like anyone really out there enjoying, air quotes, enjoying being with other people is lying.
Well,
I think there's a few,
yeah,
but the majority of people don't want to do it.
No.
Everyone's dreading everything.
We don't have to see anyone if we don't want to. I see the commercials, not that I would ever eat their pizza, but Little Caesars has that thing where it's an app. You put in what you want. You go there. You punch in your code
right,
into a machine and you get a pizza.
Right.
Like,
we're becoming
oh my God,
so...
if only that pizza wasn't the worst thing I've ever tasted. I would love that.
Imagine if that was good pizza.
Yeah.
And you could just go to like a locker
and never
it's a
talk
locker
to anyone.
And take out
yeah.
a slice of pizza
just,
or a pie.
Yeah. Give me a small, give me a slice,
just
whatever.
Just walk up to a locker,
yeah,
man.
Put money right in the machine or a card, pay for it online, mm-hmm. whatever.
Well, that's what I used to say I loved about doing stand-up comedy was that you're with people, but you're not with people.
Yeah.
You're on
you're
stage,
on your own.
But you're not with anybody.
Yeah.
And people can listen to your ideas. You don't have to listen to theirs. Mm-hmm. It's a weird narcissistic thing where you want the feedback of others, but you don't want to have to be with them to get that feedback.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's super fucked up. Okay. Next segment, schizophilmia, which I know you were looking forward to because not because the title's so amazing, but because you love movies. And I'm going to talk about my movie first.
Okay.
I watched it before I came here. I was doing research today because I was sitting with my dad the other night and a movie came on called High Anxiety by Mel Brooks. And I thought,
don't know it.
It was like in the 70s, I think it came out.
Who's in it?
Madeline Kahn, Mel Brooks, and a couple other people. I don't know.
That sounds good.
It's really funny.
I mean, I like all his stuff, but
it's really funny. It's called High Anxiety. He is a psychiatrist who's full of anxiety, and he goes to the West Coast for a new job, which is running an asylum or a psychiatric hospital. It's a very esteemed one, but there is a conspiracy going on there and people are dying. And the hospital that he goes to work for is called the Psycho Neurotic Institute for the Very, Very Nervous. And the second very is underlined. But it's all about mental health in a very funny, comedic way. And the movie's really goofy, but really, really funny. The end, I was like, okay, the last 5 minutes, I was like, this is getting a little out of control, silly. But it was really, really funny the entire time. The last 5 minutes, like I said, meh. But
some of his movies fall apart as they go on.
Exactly. Anyway.
I don't have one.
Yes, you do.
What was it? Did I tell you?
Beautiful
I gave
Mind.
You like a list. Oh, Beautiful Mind's good.
All right. Well,
I don't really connect with it.
But you don't have to connect with it.
Yeah, but if I'm going to talk about it, I do.
You don't like A Beautiful Mind?
Yeah, it was okay.
What about Girl Interrupted? Really? I figured you'd like Girl Interrupted.
No, that was not.
Since you're a girl who's interrupted by me all this time.
I was
going to
say
podcast.
That's your nickname. You're a girl who interrupts me when I try telling you a movie. yeah, she did. no, I told you before, Adaptation and Fight Club. And those are two movies that I love that both have to do with
all right, well, this
it.
But is a
I'm
new
running
episode,
out. I was going to say, I'm running out of movies that have to do with whatever you want to, depression. Or how about Basketball Diaries? That's like addiction and depression.
Okay, there
bit.
You go. With and there was problems with the mother.
Yeah,
right?
Well, there's some sexual abuse he deals from his basketball coach.
Doesn't
yeah.
the mother die in the beginning?
I yeah,
saw
very,
the movie. Okay,
very
I saw
beginning.
It like 15
it's
years
DiCaprio
ago.
It's DiCaprio when he was like 15, Mark Wahlberg's in it.
By the way, I'm very proud to announce I saw this picture of Leonardo DiCaprio that was so awful. My crush is officially over.
Bullshit.
25 years crush gone. Done. I'm happy. Yeah, okay. I'm proud. I want out. I went off the Leo train.
Yeah.
It's a really, 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 really unflattering picture.
You'll be back. They all come yeah. back.
Well, speaking of Leonardo DiCaprio and doing schizophrenia, The Aviator.
Do you like it?
I haven't seen it in so many years. I remember
That's a
thinking it was good.
One. Why did I think about
exactly.
that?
Exactly. I
He's
know
pissing in the jars, locked in the room.
Right.
Yeah,
I know you are into
one.
It more than you're saying.
Because
these movies may not be obviously about
yeah.
mental health, but there's an underlining theme.
Yeah.
And The Aviator,
that's
he
a
had
perfect
OCD.
One. OCD and
like manic.
That's
or something.
Like the most underrated Scorsese movie there is.
Yeah, I remember really liking it, but I can't remember anything about it.
Well, it's sort of long and it's sort of boring.
That's probably why it was underrated.
But it's
you're like it was pretty terrible.
But no, but. If you like acting and it does tell a story and DiCaprio and Scorsese together are amazing
yeah.
in everything.
Yeah. They're getting back together to do a movie called Devil in the White City, which is a book.
Yes.
And Devil I'm reading that book City. Right now.
Oh really?
I'm very smart.
Oh,
I'm about 50 pages in.
Yeah, you're like the cliff notes are amazing.
Well, because I want to go. I read the book. The
yeah.
book was better.
The book
just
was
once
better.
In my life, I want to say that.
But,
and I won't even believe that the book's better. The movie was probably better, but I just want to say that phrase.
But I told you Fight Club. I read the book.
Oh, yeah.
The movie's way better.
Is it?
It is. Like, I don't know if it's just because I saw the movie first, then read the book, but it works so good on film that some of that you miss reading it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't connect. You don't get everything that visually you're getting so.
From someone who hates reading. Thank you.
Yeah,
someone needs to say that, like, hey, the movie was better.
Yeah.
All right, well, so I think we already know what your antidepressant of the week is, but just to reiterate, it was what your
it was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
That and all these Seth Rogen compliments, that should be my
that's good.
Yeah, people say I have a Seth Rogen voice.
I love how, as you said, that you just kind of rubbed your belly.
Yes I'm very proud of my physique. No, that's like I said, it's done me some good, the Seth Rogen explosion.
It's gotten you a
I
lot
have his
of,
body type
pussy.
and his laugh and his
his money, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And his, you know, just the whole persona is pretty much me.
But so. That made you feel good when someone said that you sounded like Seth.
Well, I don't know
if people have said it.
It's, you know, ashamed and sort of not ashamed to say that I do look at your comments after I'm on to see if people are talking about me. I'll even stalk your Instagram.
Oh, that's really funny.
To see if people are writing about me. Funny. And when I see them, I'm like, yeah. Which is sad.
Well, it's like stopping
I think
to get
it's
gas.
Human nature.
Yeah, gas you
think
up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's human nature. Yeah. So I'm not going to be that ashamed
I would
about
check
it.
Too.
But yeah, all these Seth Rogen things, it's not doesn't make me feel good, but it's just like, I guess, yeah, that is a thing. Because I've heard it in my personal life too.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I didn't say that first because now that they say it, like you clearly sound like Seth Rogen.
I guess so.
But I'd never, because you know why? I get distracted because you sound so upstate New York-y.
Do I?
Oh my God, you have the heaviest
white trash
valley accent. Yes. I hear it and I'm like, oh my God, that's what I sound like.
But really?
Yeah.
What do I say?
Yours isn't, it hasn't been as bad today or as noticeable. Okay. I shouldn't say the word bad.
You're trying to soften the blow. I gotcha.
Well, my antidepressant of the week is the fact that, one, you sound like Seth Rogen because it makes me feel like I'm around someone important.
Yeah.
Even though I'm around someone not important.
Not important.
At all. And then my other antidepressant of the week, shopping.
Oh, yeah.
I did some retail therapy and it felt so good.
I got some questions about this.
Okay. Ask.
How... Maybe it's personal and maybe you don't want to say it.
No.
How much do you spend when you go shopping?
Not, I mean, for me, not a lot. It's not like I'm like going out and spending.
Yeah,
like,
but like you're a deal finder or are you just a I need to have it person?
I'm an I need to have it, but I can't spend
too
much.
I can't afford it, so I steal it. I'm what you call a kleptomaniac.
Well, I was in jail. That's why I didn't put an episode out last week.
Me and Whitey, we were friends. That's why I feel
him.
Bad.
I killed him. I do feel guilty about it, but no, I'll go out for something specific, and if it's a little bit more expensive, I'll justify it because I need it, but I don't just fruitlessly spend.
Yeah.
But when I say retail therapy, I bought a winter coat. I needed a winter coat, but then I bought a couple shirts. I needed a few shirts.
Does the coat look good on you?
It does, but it's I bought it for winter, so it is very heavy. Yeah. It's I look like I'm in South Park, basically. It's all coat, very little face. It's like a big hood. But anyway, I got
so it's flattering.
Not at all.
Well, honestly, I think a coat is the number one article of clothing that can boost you up or break you down. My coat right now, I feel like Superman. Like it's his cape when I put that coat on. It's like the best looking article of clothing I have.
Coats are magical. Yeah. I will give you that. And
if
the
you
reason,
have a good coat, you feel on top of the world.
I picked out this coat specifically because it felt like a coat I'd wear in New York City. And that is the lift up that I needed.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, motivate.
I was like, I can see this. She's
there's
a sharp girl. Yeah, she's got her shit together. Yeah. She's strong.
Calling a cab.
She has self-acceptance.
Going to see a Broadway show.
She's doing an Uber, not a cab, because she's cool.
It's New York again.
But yeah,
I cab.
I know. So I got that, and it did boost my mind a bit. And then the other things that I got were around the same time that I started feeling self-acceptancy. So I got a few things that I wouldn't have gotten if I was feeling down about myself. Yeah. Like I got a really like funky hat. Like okay. I would never usually buy a hat.
Yeah,
so it was really therapeutic type of things that I bought because I was feeling good about myself.
So it sounds like the Prozac's helping you.
It's doing wonders, apparently.
Yeah.
I am doing better, except I'm still sleeping
a
lot.
You look better than the last time I saw you, you were pretty, I feel like you were pretty down.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. You seem much better.
Yeah, gotten
so
a little better.
That's good. It's good.
Good news, yeah.
Yes.
All right.
And you didn't call me. So so you have not reached out. So that's another,
that's crossed my
another
mind.
Weight has been lifted off my head.
That's crossed my mind so many times since I left was that you were saying, don't call you, but
you
I can if I need
if
to.
If it's an emergency, call me, but I'd rather you don't.
Well, I was gonna when I texted you to do this, I was going to say,
hey.
What? Yay. I know I'm never social unless I need to be. But whatever.
No, it's good. I love catching up with you for this.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, it's so much fun.
At this point, though, I feel like it's weird that this is pretty much the only time we talk. Like, we have complete on-air personas, and then this ends, and it's like, okay, get out of my life till the next time.
But I love
but,
that.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it's low
great.
Maintenance, and there's
it's
no
the
expectations.
Best.
There's
it's
no
the best.
Yes, it is.
I will say, the friends that I have maintained into adulthood are friends that I have that relationship with. We don't talk. We don't talk. We don't talk. Hi, I love you. Yeah. We don't talk. We don't talk. We don't talk. You're my best friend. We don't talk. We don't talk.
It's such a, there is nothing worse than a needy friend. That's like, you never called me. Yeah. What happened? You never want to hang out. Yeah. It's like, I'm a fucking grown up, dude.
Right. I'm not your boyfriend or girlfriend.
I like you. Like, we'll talk. Yeah. We'll see each other. We'll meet up for a drink sometime, maybe. Probably not.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't need to answer to you.
Yeah.
Like I said, I had a friend text me, oh man, I'm so sorry I forgot your birthday. I was like, we're not dating. I'm okay.
And thank you, because now I don't have to say happy birthday to you.
No, you don't. And I'm almost disgusted when people say happy birthday to me.
It is a pain in the ass. I'm glad that I didn't know it was your birthday.
No.
I wouldn't have wanted to bog you down on your birthday with a happy birthday.
Seriously? Really? You're just saying that because it's my birthday. Yeah.
And you want me to do your podcast?
Yeah.
I will say one girl I had to just X out of being friends with at all because she, in texting, would expect a sign off. Like, you know, with friends, you can just stop texting and it just goes and you're just done. And then you'll catch up after, like, you know, the next time you need to text or you're going to text. She would be like, okay, so are you going to go now if I didn't write back in a few minutes? And like, we'd have to have a formal goodbye in text.
That's super weird.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I can't do this.
You do formal goodbyes with me sometimes in text. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, you could have just stopped. So maybe that's from her. Or do you don't get that vibe from me, do you?
No. No, but sometimes like, all right, because I don't talk to you often. It's like, all right, I'll talk to you later. TTYL.
Yeah.
It's not like a formal, like, okay, it was nice talking to you. We'll talk again soon.
That would be even weirder.
It was very formal with her.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for doing this.
Yeah. I love it. And I'm not as nervous now, so hopefully they come out better.
Well, now I'm nervous.
Oh, I do that.
You do that to
anybody that around effect. Seth Rogen will do that to you. You know, it's like a celebrity's in the room.
Make sure I get your autograph before I leave. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And remember, you guys can always support the show on patreon.com/mentallychill. But even more importantly, tell a friend.
Yes. Get more people to listen. Do a review.
I don't need your help with this. You always you get me into deep
you
trouble
know what?
With this.
I'm disappointed. I'll check your reviews and I don't get, there's not a Kyle Spike when I do this. So I'm just for me guys, so I can have self-worth, not for Kristen.
I
Screw
do get
her.
A spike though sometimes in my messages saying I love listening to you and Kyle have so much fun together.
Leave comments like that,
but leave them publicly so Kyle can see them.
Creepily find your comments and get 2 seconds of enjoyment
and
out
masturbate
of them. Yes. And you know, it's it's all I have. So leave a comment.
It's all I have too. So yes, please leave a comment and share the show with a friend. And remember, stay sad enough to listen,
but not too sad.
Bye guys.
Bye.